Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Bias Check-In.
Hey everyone, benvenuti.
Claudia, what are we checking in with? What are the updates?
I am so excited for this episode. And thank you for asking, Susie, because joining us on the mic today are the minds behind the Instagram and Twitter profiles @BringUsHome, which is an initiative to raise awareness about the European travel ban that was instituted in March 2020, and that was just lifted a week ago, allowing COVID-19 vaccinated EU citizens into the US for the first time in almost 2 years. Doctors Bruna Corradetti, Francesca Taraballi, and Federica Giordano are three Italian medical researchers at Houston Methodist Hospital, and they are also the masterminds behind Bring Us Home. So ladies, doctors, thank you for coming into Bias Check-In's microphones. To get us started, do you mind sharing a little bit about yourselves and how you came to meet in Houston, Texas, out of all places?
I'm Bruna Corradetti. I am a principal investigator working in assistant professor working in nanomedicine at the Texas Medical Center. I ended up in Houston in December 2012 in the context of a fellowship that I got awarded from an Italian foundation that allowed me to spend 2 years in the United States working in one of the excellent institutes for research. So I had identified the institute I'm currently working at as the one I wanted to develop my research, and I started working in regenerative medicine. Well, I joined it because I wanted to apply nanomedicine to regenerative medicine. So I arrived there, I got started in the lab, and then I've been told that another Italian researcher was coming. So we got in contact and she said, I'm looking for a flat. And I had a flat and I said, you can stay in my flat until you find an apartment for yourself. And then what happened was that 1 month later, she comes to my flat, she joins me and she never leaves. But the best part is that we've been, well, best based on what we are discussing now, because at the time it was quite intense, very, very nice, I have to say. But we were actually spending 24 hours together because we were working together. We established the tissue engineering lab in that institute together, working on the biological side for what pertains my work, and then the biomaterial side for what pertains Francesca's work. We already created a great team in science. And then when we were going back, we were still together in a one bed, one bathroom apartment. And that was, how long did it last, Francesca?
A lot. Then we changed the apartment. Finally, I had my room, but it was a little bit bigger. And I was like, I missed you. I cannot tell you have a good night because we are too far right now. But yes, this is how it worked. Then I joined the lab and I arrived with an Italian fellow over there as well. And I didn't have too much money, I remember, because I was kind of hired with an Italian fellowship that we know how much we are talking about, and it can be nothing to live in the United States. So I say, I need to share the apartment.
But it was really intense and really good, I think, because we've been creating so many things, and Bring Us Home is only one among the several great, fantastic things that we've been able to accomplish together.
And then she went a little bit back and forth. She's like the real traveler. Instead, I stayed in Houston, and I got the position in Houston, and ta-da, arrived the third one.
Exactly. So I joined the lab of Francesca in 2017. Actually, I came under another boss. And then the lab passed to Francesca, and I have the opportunity to stay with her, so I'm very happy about it. I arrived when I was doing my PhD in Milan, so basically I spent the last year of my PhD in Houston at the Francesca lab. And then I got the offer to stay as a postdoctoral fellow. So right now I'm a postdoctoral fellow in the ortho department where Francesca is my PI, so is my boss.
I'm the boss. That's exactly. The funny thing when you say, oh, how you met? Well, actually, I'm the boss of Federica.
Exactly, exactly. So at the beginning, I was part of the Italian community in Houston, so we have the chance to meet before and spend time together, also spend some festivity together, because as you know, we don't go back and forth for all the course for Christmas when we can, but for example, Easter or Thanksgiving or other occasions, so we spend together with the Italian community, and it was very nice. And then as a lab, we had the usually every Friday we have this nice activity together to, reinforce our group that Francesca leads. So basically we were going to do some beach volley together with all the lab. So of course, apart from the research activity, we had also a lot of fun together outside. And then in this year with Bring Us Home, I had also the opportunity to meet a little bit better Bruna.
It's so fun to hear all the things that brought you all together. And Francesca, it seems like you lead a great lab. Now, can we take a step back for our listeners? And can you tell us how Bring Us Home came to be?
Bruna frustration together.
Yeah, no, so first thing first is that because I have two positions, one in the United States and one in the UK, mm-hmm. and I've been greatly affected by the travel ban. First time when it was firstly imposed in March 2020, and then when I got back in October 2020 to the United States, then I got stuck there for one year now. Without the possibility to meet with my family, but also with my fiancé. Well, how it started, because of this, I had already sent several letters to the White House because I wanted to inquire. I wanted to say it's not possible that people that pay taxes in the United States, that are here with an excellent visa, are struggling while American can travel back and forth with no vaccination required. And scientifically, it doesn't make any sense. But of course, my voice was just the voice of an individual. So during the European soccer game competition, we started talking and we started sharing the struggle. And I said, guys, we need to do something. And I remember I was talking with Francesca and with Federica, and we said, we need to join, we need to create a community. Otherwise, no one is hearing our voices.
And actually, we created the Instagram page. Yes, we created
that day exactly. We started it. And so we started saying, like, what would be a good name? And we said, like, Bring Us Home. Fine. So we just created the page. And then the page has been sitting there for a couple of days. And I remember I was creating the logo. But it was just, I don't know. I didn't think it could reach so many people or we could do so many things. But then the three of us, started actually being very active on that and trying to reach out to journalists and to politicians. And that just came out. I don't know how to explain it. It just happened because mm-hmm. Nothing was able to stop us. And I remember arguing with the Italian journalists because they were bringing up difficulties. They say, mm-hmm. this is not the moment to discuss about the travel ban. This is not, there is like, I don't know, like it's a holiday. So Italian people don't listen to that mm-hmm. or whatever. Everything was more important than the travel ban. And the struggle was such that I was saying like, you cannot say that's more important. And it was a real argument with some of them. Some other people were just listening to us and say, oh, we were not aware of this. And that's when everything happened, because we realized that...
So we were invisible, basically.
Yes, we were just invisible. And then when we started receiving so much, I don't know to say, we started seeing so many people following us. What I want to say is that the people that follow us are actually people that we engage with. So we don't have followers as a million followers, but we can say that we know most of the
all
followers
of them.
We have. Francesca being very good and amazing in being really in contact with them, and Federica as well. it's a real connection, and that's how it happens.
I think it's the powerful of our page, our platform, and our movement that we are real. So yeah. And we care about what people are saying, so we find the time to reply to them, to try to help them to solve all the issue, all the questions.
We've been crying together, we've been laughing together. This is really a community. It's a real community. And
in fact, everybody say, when is gonna be a retreat? Bring us some yeah. retreat.
Yeah.
And I
amazing.
Wanted to do it. I want to do it in Las Vegas, actually. Because most people say,
yeah, you heard it here first, folks.
Everybody say, let's do in New York, because the majority of us are in New York. And I say, who cares about New York, my guy? Stop with this New York. Every time, if you follow the page, we always make fun of the fact that we are in Texas. And actually, nobody wants to come in Texas. Let's do an hangover part 4, Las Vegas.
The Italian edition.
The Italian the immigrants edition.
Yeah, I think that the European competition triggered a little bit our bring us home, because we were together sharing all these emotions, even if it was just for soccer. But we were, together. And it was a real connection in that moment, even if it was just a soccer competition. And I think this helped us to find the way to raise our voice and say something about it, because we wanted so hard to come back home. So we said we won the cup, came back to Rome, so we want to go back to Rome as well.
We want to go with it. Yeah.
Exactly. And each of us had a different reason to go back. Everybody has a reason to go back. And even though, even
just to see the family.
Your family for vacation, that's one reason, it's a right.
The problem is that somehow, and I don't understand why juridically it's like this, so the parents are not considered direct family, and the siblings are not considered direct family. If you are married, though, that is considered your direct family. But this is, it's insane. My direct family is my damn family. Parents
are
not considered.
It's a nuclear family, yeah.
Yeah. They are not considered. And that was one of the problem, because one of the exception that was in the proclamation was the direct family are in one part, are in US, but the siblings or the daughters, like Claudia, you were saying, daughters are not considered direct family.
Yeah, I was in a very similar situation. I graduated from grad school during the pandemic, as our listeners are probably tired of me mentioning it. And I was basically, okay, you can choose between your life here, your fiance, your work, or you can see your parents. And technically, I think the argument legally was that we always had a choice, but that was no choice at all. It was basically saying, you're not welcome and please upheave your entire life. But before we go into the heavy stuff, I do want to say, I am so happy. And I think it's such a proof of Italianness that this all came to be during the European Cup. Like, soccer is such, it's politics,
thing.
Religion and soccer in Italy is what makes the world go around. So I love that that's something that united you all. And then also, like, that's how I came to find your page. I first found it and I was like, okay, they're explaining things in Italian. I can send this to all my relatives that don't speak English so that they can hear it from someone else. Because we also know that sometimes you will explain things and how things work abroad, and your family in the other country is just like, no, I'm sure that's not how it is. Okay, do you need to hear it from 3 other PhDs? Okay, I will give you 3 other PhDs that say the same thing. I promise it's not just me. I also wanted to say thank you, because you also, to me, represent like what we call l'eccellenza italiana, like Italian excellence. Like, we don't see that many women in STEM.
Thank you.
We don't see ourselves represented the way you are representing professional Italian researchers and scientists right now in both the US, the UK, and Italy.
Thank you so much.
And in Sicily.
You can enter that debate some other time. But I was wondering if, because we know that there are hurdles and obstacles in pursuing these careers and at the level that you all have reached so far, did maybe your previous professional experiences help you in just saying, you know what, no one is doing anything, so I will? Was that a muscle you had already built up?
Yes, I mean, we arrive from that background. We are, of course, we are advocate for women to close as much as possible the gender gap that there is, not only in STEM, but in general, in every kind of situation. We also holding this position, and this actually we say many times, we say probably the fact that we have a like a recognized position in science, these helped first of all, because somehow we can speak without freaking out in front of the TV or whatever, and second, because we are not like, oh, with all the respect, with everything to any kind of job and any kind of mention, the fact that what they say, and there is this dream of in Italy especially of cervelli in fuga, those are people that pursue their career in US, and so they might be excellent and so on. Yeah, exactly as you, Claudia.
The brain drain is real.
But definitely the fact that that we already holding this position, and of course we want to try to change things for women in science at least, helped a lot. Because of the mood that you have, because we are fighting, because we are, know how to impose ourselves also in some occasion, because probably other kind of people, independently from the gender, might not be confident also to speak in front of the people, even if, as we say before, don't have the appropriate tools or so on and so forth. The fact that we usually speak in front of a lot of people at the conferences and or we teach helped a lot.
Yeah, I wanted to add one thing that is about the fact that we are constantly seeking collaborations and networks and to create networks. And one of the things is no shame in trying. So that's what we applied for Bring Us Home, no shame in trying to achieve the mission that we have in mind. And one thing that is, of course, like I'm also advocating for girls and female, like women in science, but in general, I think that we should talk a little bit more about resilience. Because that is the power of any big accomplishment.
That's why we're happy to have you here.
Yeah, I have to say that Bring Us Home helped me personally in my also professional growth, because with this experience, sometimes we, for example, have been contacted from journalists or to record some video and something that, maybe happened immediately. So you have to do it right away.
Yeah.
So you cannot find the time to be prepared, whatever. So this helped me a lot to build my confidence.
Especially, sorry, Franci, if I interrupt you, especially initially when we really wanted to engage with journalists. So they were saying either now or never.
And
we were
exactly.
Like, oh my God!
Yeah. Professionalism and respect.
Thank you, girls, really. Because sometimes we were like, oh, we need, there is this politician, they might give us 5 minutes. Run, I have an experiment to do. I have a friend to do it. Okay, you go.
There's the little, the little, sorry, I'm busy saving lives. Can you hold?
This thing wouldn't have happened if it was only one of us. Because as Franci said, there are so many things that we need to consider, and because it's not our main job, it would have been impossible to deal with everything at the same time.
Being able to rely on the other two, at least, and being able to triangulate.
That has been the strength, really, of Bring Us Home.
Because first of all, cover all the different things. Sometimes the television contact us in the same time. Because a lot of visibility, it's true that we grow up or raise the attention during summer season, but it was also for us a busy time. So it was like, oh my God, this is raising all at the same time and they want it right now, because probably also they don't have too many news at that time and we have to say it because that is how at least Italian mass media work. Yeah. Without a real organization, don't think that we are, a management organization. Don't think about any kind of structure of organization. We are way better in science and so on. more natural, let's say.
Another thing is that, yes, we were used to speak in public, but we were not used to social media. So the very first story that I made was a disaster, and I don't know what I said, but I was so passionate. And Franci did the same, and Federica did the same. And then we said, okay, now we can do that. Like, we can just, you know, throw ourselves there. What we need to say, I think, is that there was a fear. We sensed a fear. So everybody had the same idea, but people were afraid of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you
yes,
are still
that's true.
Going again, not against the government, but just saying, hey, this is my right. And I'm working here, but I'm human. And also, this is part of the difficulties that we found in connecting
the
people. Yeah.
And also for us at the beginning was difficult because we have to say the proper things in the proper way because we didn't want to raise any other complication. We just wanted to, fight for our rights, but we are not against the government or something else. We just want to have answer and clarification about the situation and the window of time.
I had the exact same process because, as Bruna was saying, sometimes things are just born out of sheer frustration. As you know, parents just think the world of us. And so my mom and my aunt jokingly said, just call the White House. And I was so frustrated, I actually did. And I got to the switchboard and I was like, hi, good morning. Yes, I'm calling. I would like to be connected with the Secretary of State's department. And I guess my years of theater paid back because the person didn't hear the fear in my voice. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have any idea whatsoever. And they were like, oh yeah, do you have a specific number you would like to be connected to? I was like, oh, the executive assistant will be great. Thank you. And they put me on hold and they were transferring me. And I panicked and I hung up. But
no!
You were almost there.
Wait, this is really could be direct democracy. I can just call them up. Okay. But I don't want to sidetrack too much. Susie, I think you had the next question.
Yes, all those years of watching Madam Secretary were paying off. You wanted to be connected to the Chief of Staff or the Executive Assistant, someone.
Mm-hmm. They really did. I was just going off of, she had a Chief of Staff. I will talk to them.
Exactly. Now, but coming back to the episode, looking forward and seeing the reports of the first days of the travel ban being lifted, how do you think this reopening is going to work? And do you have any concerns for the holiday travel season as medical professionals, public health going forward? Any and all comments.
The travel ban was a very weird thing because they impose a restriction based on an health problem, right? A pandemic. They use, allow me this this word, they use the pandemic to close the border because that it could be a way to limit the spreading, which is, I think it is. So the limitation of travel, it could be a way, as New Zealand demonstrate, as China demonstrate, to go back on what is called a code zero. So if we analyze the restriction of travel as one of the tools that you can use to reduce the spreading of pandemic, I agree. I totally agree. The problem in that case it was that it was just on one hand. So how do you think that you can allow people that are not even vaccinated to go wherever they want to go, and you don't allow people that are vaccinated to come back? That was the insanity and the kind of, allow me this word, and I take all the responsibility, a little bit of discrimination out of this law. But if you tell me what's going to happen right now, I don't know what's going to happen because we see numbers raising, especially in Europe right now, while from US we are actually coming out now from the wave. We know because we receive emails every day to the situation since we work in a hospital. So I don't know. I wish I know. Of course, it's something of concern, but I also think that with the vaccine that we have right now, with the potential of having another boost on the vaccine, if we can keep in place the fact that to show a swab, a negative swab, I think there are kind of tools that we can use to regulate a little bit the travel. Of course, it's not gonna be like before, because I just moved, I just came here in Italy for a short vacation, let's call it vacation, it's stressy. It's not like travel. You don't have, I used to love to travel, to stay in the airport, to go around. I used to travel a lot. And now it's, you arrive at the destination and you are devastated. If you have to do like just 2 days and go back, I don't see that not affecting at least the mental health and the health in general of the travelers. I mean, there is a lot of talking about this vaccine and so on and so forth, and I don't want to add my voice out of it. I don't think I have a solution, because otherwise probably I will be holding another position, but...
Dr. Fauci, beware.
Yeah, oh, Fauci. It's my love, only love.
Certainly,
my husband can appear.
The fact that different rules apply in to different countries doesn't help. Because there are a lot of exceptions that should be considered. And there are a lot of people, for example, in Italy, you can get your green pass if you have if you had COVID-19 and you had one dose of vaccine. How do you deal with that if the US government requires you to be double vaccinated? So there are many aspects that still need to be considered.
Yep. Not to air all of our personal business on the podcast. Sorry, mommy. But that was exactly my mom's situation. She received
one dose
vaccine, and she thankfully has never been anywhere near testing positive for COVID, but trying to figure out, okay, when can we come over? Can I travel safely? And she's in one of the categories at risk. So it's like, okay, so can I not? Am I going to make it all the way to O'Hare? And then they tell me, sorry, go back. Or what happens? Can I vouch for her? Can she quarantine at my place? All of those questions were definitely scary and just had to be figured out when we kept hearing early November. I did consider getting a tattoo of early November. But that brings me to the million-dollar question for you three now is, so the borders have reopened. We are answering and you're helping to answer the questions that your community sends you, like, okay, well, which consulate is open? Who can I talk to? What answers are we getting? But the main purpose of this Bring Us Home initiative, the initial one at least, is hopefully, knocking on wood, coming to a close. The borders are reopening. We're getting to see our families and travel again. And we hinted a little bit at the Vegas retreat, which also we need to talk about off the mic. But what are new projects? Where do you see Bring Us Home going?
Yeah, so what we were thinking about is since we created this community of support, we will keep the Bring Us Home page and initiative as a place of sharing and support. So people already know each other. We have identified persons that live in a country, well, in a state in the United States or another one. We have been able to engage with people, and the community works really well. So sometimes what we do is just to connect people, and that's the secret and, you know, the strength of what we do. So keeping it alive would certainly be beneficial for Italians that want to move to the United States for short-term or long-term periods, as well as to create supporting group for whatever.
Support, maybe you want to travel with someone so we can connect people and want to travel together because you are not confident or comfortable traveling alone. I mean, there are a lot of things that we can do together, and we can still share our experience and help each other as a community, as we did until now.
You know that the American system is very, very different than Italy. for a lot of things, like starting from a bank account, the health system, and the tax payment, and the visa thing, what you can do, what you cannot do. So, and what we saw is that there are a lot of little community, just for instance, people that do research, maybe they have those channels, but people that do au pairs, maybe they have those channels. But there are a lot of people that actually come in US for other reasons, either they are restaurant workers and so on and so forth. So this thing that actually is an umbrella that put together a lot of different people, that the only thing that they have together is just that they left Italy to come in the United States for any reason.
Also, for example, if you come here for a health reason, there are a lot of bureaucracy and things that you don't know. And for example, I have the opportunity to help some people, unfortunately, that came for cancer treatment. And maybe they don't know, they don't speak English. So maybe they even, I mean, need an help with the language.
Somehow the people listen more us than their lawyers or the HR.
Yeah, there was definitely a moment seeing, at one point you all asked for people to share their stories and share a picture, and just seeing how many different situations we had. I get the the lawyers are looking at immigration law from 6 months ago. In the meanwhile, we've had 5 executive orders and 2 consulates closed, and the other one is not picking the phone. So there was definitely that feeling of, Who can I rely on? Because we had the same thing. Like, we had a family friend who was looking into, okay, is there any exception for me to come home and not lose my visa and not lose my applications? And like, well, technically, the law says you can do this and you can do that. Practically, good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
God bless.
Yeah, because I mean, if you also follow strictly the rules, the problem that this particular proclamation has been interpreted by the consulate in a different way, that this is what we discover after, because we thought that was just a problem of travel. But when we heard a lot of story of visa denied, we were like, why they are denied? They should deny the travel, not the visa. And instead, to me,
on top of the travel ban,
that was the real problem of the travel ban. They stopped to issue the visas of people that were allowed and eligible to work in the United States, because they have a valid visa issue from the United States, but actually they were not allowed in some way, because all the excuse were because of the proclamation. No, the proclamation doesn't speak about the visa, it speaks about the travel. It's a different thing.
But it became a vicious cycle of, correct, if we don't want you to travel, we will not give the visa. If we don't give the visa, you
cannot travel.
But I can go to Romania and get the visa over there, even if I'm Italian, same visa, and I can leave from there. Insane.
Yeah. As long as you stop by Croatia or Mexico.
You spend 2 weeks. Yes, you could. So basically, it's totally insane and make no sense at all. If you want really to block the pandemic, it's not making sense at all.
Absolutely.
We still have to see how the travel ban being lifted will reflect in the way they will deal with the visas, because we still don't know how that will happen. So at the moment, we are still in the paradox where tourists can go to the United States, but people with visas still have to make an appointment maybe in 2 months' time, and then keep the finger crossed.
Well, ladies, I think we only have the soapbox left for us. But Susie, do you want to introduce our wonderful soapbox?
Absolutely. Thank you. So at the end of every episode, we have the soapbox segment. Here is where we take a step back and let our guests talk about whatever they want our listeners to know. Any topic is fair game. So, doctors, we now invite you to step onto our soapbox with your parting thoughts.
I will start and say that I will love that the people will try to understand that people that leave their country to reach out more possibilities, let's call it like this, in a different country, should be treated independently from the work that they are going to do, and independently from the reason they brought elsewhere, as human being. because this is what they want at the end, and this is why they move, because they want to be treated as human being, as and probably better if they leave their country. And they leave their own country is never an easy thing to do, no matter how bad is the country they are coming from. That's it. This is my take-home message.
My take-home message is that we are stronger together. So if we have rights to do something, we don't have to, I mean, we have to show our face and say what we think is right, because we don't have to offend, we don't have to go against something, but we have to raise our voice when it's necessary. And in this case, it was necessary. And do it together, it's amazing, it's a wonderful thing. And so we have to pursue in everything we believe in. So I think my take-home message is this one. So we have to fight. In lives, we have to fight.
What can I add? I cannot never give up. Because we, no matter how many times we fall, together we are strong, as Francesca and Federica already said. And what is most important is to be true to yourself. So if you had the dream of pursuing your life, whatever for whatever profession, whatever reason in the United States, just speak up. Because you are an adventure. And we are in the United States for a reason, because we bring something to the United States. And I think that's the most important part. But we don't only bring our knowledge and our expertise. We are human. So we go back to where Francesca started. So go back to your dream, go back to your mission, and never give up.
Well, that was beautiful, ladies. One of our taglines is amplifying voices and creating this community. So I appreciate all the work you've done and will continue doing. And I second all of your parting thoughts with speak up.
Speak up. Always speak up. Because you never, I mean, eventually what they're supposed to say, right?
Eventually they don't reply. You no, are still invisible eventually.
How they do, Bruna, you said, do you remember that conference in which that professor, that female professor, sorry if I stressed the part, say, you speak, and they go, and at the beginning, they gonna laugh.
Yeah.
And you continue to speak and they're gonna fight or something like that. And then you continue to speak and at the end you're gonna win. Something like that. I don't remember the quote.
Yeah, I think you succeed and then they will look for you or something like that. Because we also started the conversation with the institutions that had never been started before. So I mean, probably we didn't succeed in the sense that this has not been led by Bring Us Home. The fact that the travel ban has been lifted is our internal success. But the success is that we didn't feel alone as we were when we first started. So we allowed everybody just to feel part of this, and this is great.
And that was a huge, huge part, at least speaking for my little corner of Chicago, to be able to be like, okay, so this is not just me in my calls to my parents or to my friends. This is, I'm not the crazy one. And I think there's so much power in that. Yes, maybe you weren't there to restart the airports personally, but you did do a lot of work to raise more awareness and just to make people feel heard. And I really do not make it seem a smaller accomplishment than it is, because that was huge and had such a big impact on so many people. So thank you so much for taking the time to do that and to be on our mics today.
Thank you. It was amazing.
It was great.
I like it. I have fun anytime.
Francesca, you are opening a dangerous door. But thank you so much to the three of you for being on our mic today, for all the work that you put into creating the Bring Us Home community and continue working on today. For our love for Fauci and all the weird things that happen with that travel ban and how people interpret it. But in the meantime, we'll see Claudia's parents soon.
Yes. In 10 days from the time of recording.
Yay.
All right, y'all. It's been a great pleasure, great episode. You know what's coming is our social media spiel today with the addition of the Bring Us Home profiles. So if you enjoyed the episode, If you have any feedback on it or just want to talk to us, let us know, contact us on our social media channels at Bias Check-In Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. We also have a Facebook page. You can send us an email. Feel free to do so on anchor.fm. We are accepting little tips and voice messages, as always, are welcome. If you would like to keep in touch with the ladies behind Bring Us Home, keep a tab on when exactly we're going to hit Vegas for the retreat. You can also find them on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook under the handle Bring Us Home. That said, thank you again for a great episode. Travel safe if you're planning on traveling, and talk to you guys next week.
See you in the next one. Bye.
Ciao, ciao.